Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, again to the Wednesday night by Yahweh's Design Chat Hour. And today is the 17th of May, year 2023, Wednesday night. And we do hope and pray that everybody's doing well as our world continues to go up in flames. Insanity is the rule today. The inmates are running the asylum. That's pretty evident. Pretty much anywhere you go, especially in what used to be called civilized countries, our politicians have proven to be nothing more than sycophants to the world communist Jewish cabal that's hell-bent on trying to take over this entire world. So the best thing I can tell people to do is, as a lot of information is coming out to this point, is form groups in your area as best you can. I know a lot of folks are kind of isolated and don't really think there's anybody around them, but generally there's somebody out there that you can start forming at least a small fire squad or even a platoon, but a fire squad or a fire team is usually 4 to 5 guys, sometimes 6. So it's pretty important that you get at least a fire team together somewhere in your area so that if it's called upon, you can sort of huddle together and defend yourselves. It doesn't sound like much, but you multiply that by thousands, and that's a significant number of guerrilla warfare-type people. It's just crazy, though. It's just absolutely crazy what we see every single day. I mean, I spend my entire day just reading and answering calls and looking at the different things being sent out by different platforms about some of the... I know some of it is psyops, but there's an awful lot that is crazy that's going on because I see it in the area here. In the eyes of the people, the way they talk, the way things are doing, etc. So it's not all a psyop. There are crazy things going on, just as we witnessed in the last 3 years with this insanity, with this completely trumped up so-called disease that we all had to be afraid of. So it's definitely time to stay on your toes and be aware of your surroundings, and also try to organize groups and do everything you can to be as self-sufficient as you can be. Learn how to do things. If you don't know how to do something with your hands or have a skill set, then learn it as fast as you can. Whether it's an electrician, a plumber, a welder, auto mechanic, carpenter, roofer, appliance repairman, shoe repairman, making clothes. I'm going to tell you, that stuff has fallen out of use, but if we have a scenario like some people are painting, those things are going to be extremely important. Blacksmith, a silversmith, goldsmith, naturopathic doctors, with home remedies and things like that, the farmers, the ranchers, the butchers, and, of course, your hunters. All of those things will be important. So if you don't know one of those skills, get as trained up as you can. That way you can barter your services for the services of other people that know things that you don't know. I just read an article that was talking about, for instance, ham radio operators. And again, not everybody has to be one, but somebody in your area should learn all those skills. And that way, if communications go down, somebody can run to that person to get word out. In exchange for that, he's going to do that for people, and they could provide him with food or clothing or fuel for a fire or things such as that. So, anyway, things to think about. I didn't have any... super hot items to cover because there's just it's just so much insanity out there. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor here real quick today. And so we've got Ella here, and she's in Texas. We got Matt in Ireland and Ralph in Canada. So were few in number, but spread all over the place. And of course, I'm sitting down here in southern Florida. Ralph never talks, so I'm going to leave you muted, Ralph. If you do want to talk, put something in the chat room, and I'll unmute you. But is it still as feel as hopeless over in Ireland, Matt, as you said a few shows ago? I think it was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Do you still feel like people are pretty much zombies over there?
Yeah, I do. I was pretty despondent the last time I spoke to you, though. I hope I didn't come across as rude. That was one thing that I thought after I spoke to you last.
No, it's not rude. Trust me, I field phone calls and different things like that, emails, etc., from people in all levels of some people, and these are some of the even strongest men I've known lately have called to complain of severe depression. So even if our warrior type guys are getting depressed, it doesn't bode well for everybody else. I was looking at something Ella had put in there. So what they're doing is this is classic communist techniques of warfare. They're mentally torturing us. You know, Voltaire, if you go back in history, Voltaire had a saying that those that can make you believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities. And if you look all through the 20th century, that's exactly what multitudes of people, by the tens of millions, committed all kinds of atrocities because the propagandists, the Zionist propagandists, had got the people to believe things that were just patently false. They were absurd. And you look what's going on today, it's happening all over again. These zombies out here are being told things that are just totally unbelievable. You see them and they're believing it. So they will become their army to commit atrocities against us. We've said that for a long time. These Jews don't have the numbers. They can't buy off enough cops and enough soldiers to take over the world. They can't. There's just too many people. If they were to wake up, even 5% or 4% of the world population, that's a huge army. And they don't have the means to take it over. If they did, they wouldn't be bothering with all this. So what they have to do is turn the zombies into almost like the movies, Zombie Apocalypse and other movies like that. They're trying to get these brain-dead morons out here that have been psychologically programmed through the psyops to where they believe these absurdities, and then they're going to turn around and tell them even more absurd things, like you see right now. White people are the problem, and yet every non-white nation out there is trying to flood into white countries everywhere in the world, and yet they're telling them we're the problem, and yet why are they flooding into our countries if we're so inhospitable? And we're such a problem, we're so racist, and we're such a detriment to them, and yet they're flooding into our countries. It's absurd. And yet they believe it, and so they feel justified in committing rape and murder and physical assault against our people. I just wonder, when are our people going to start turning the tables here? How much longer do we have to take this crap before our people realize we have a right to defend ourselves? Just like when the Germans were holding their political rallies in Germany in the early 1900s, trying to figure out how to pull their country out of the cellar after the Versailles Treaty, and the communists would roll in with truckloads of guys with baseball bats and clubs and chains, and they would beat the guys, killing some of them, every time they tried to have a political meeting, until the Germans finally formed the brown shirts, They didn't call themselves that at first. That was somebody's idea later on, so that they could, because sometimes these brawls would become so intense, there were guys beating up their own guys. So that's why they said, well, we need to wear something that identifies us as the National Socialists so that we don't beat ourselves up. We just beat up these communists. And so that's what they did. They started wearing, I think it, when they first came out, it was brown, any kind of a brown shirt with dark slacks, and that was their uniform. And then later on, they actually created a uniform and became the brown shirt. So the idea, though, was, again, you have to defend yourself. These people are mauling our people and abusing our people left and right. Okay, so I'm going to yield if anybody's got something they want to bring up or get into a different topic. And while I'm waiting, we're going to look through the chat here.
Well, I'll tell you, I've said it for quite some time. Ireland is, we happen to be one of those, I would say we're a country, but we're an island, realistically, you know. And we, because of that, it almost plays to our benefit what is happening all over the West, because it's a lot more apparent here. The media have a lot of trouble. The media can black out anything that the migrants that they bring in are going to do to our people. But word here travels far too fast. There's regardless of whether the media blocks it, it's that they can't do anything about it because people will still know. So there's been a bit of an uprising here, particularly up in the north. I'm down in the south. I wish I was up in the north, but they've been, I think last week or well, just a few days ago, they were burning out migrant camps up in the north, and, they were fighting the communists up there as well, which is great to see. I wish I was up there myself. But that is one of the things in this country. They're going to have a real problem here. And that's one of the reasons why they're really pushing these hate speech laws here. And they're so over the top, because they know they have to crush dissent here. Because if they can't, they won't be able to anyway. I don't believe so. There's too many of us that are going to start to fight eventually. I mean, what are your laws going to mean when we start throwing petrol bombs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Irish have a reputation of being fighters, so and I'm proud to say I've got Irish and Welsh blood, as well as German and some English in my veins. So that part of my ancestry, my dad said when he was doing the genealogical research. He was kind of teasing me one afternoon because he knows about my show and everything. And he said, I got bad news for you, Dan. I said, what's that? He said, well, I just found out that there's a side of our family that's black Irish. and I had a look on my face, and he started laughing. And I said, there are no black Irish. What are you talking about? And he said,
Catholic.
Yeah, he said I'm just kidding. It's a term for what it was, the Catholics, you say, that were called the Black Irish?
Yeah, because the prods usen't like the Irish. That's where that all stems from.
Oh. Yeah, he said it just means we were part of some outcast group in Ireland sometime in hundreds of years ago or whatever, and then those ancestors came to central Pennsylvania and settled in Amish country. And that's where he found out. He was checking the grave sites and records at some of the churches in up and down what they call Big Valley, Pennsylvania. So it was just kind of a funny thing, you know, but I said, well, If they were renegades, or if it just means, you know, part of our ancestry is Irish that didn't fit in and were willing to stand for what they believed in and fight, well, then I'm all for it, because that's what we need. We need fighters. We need people that don't compromise, or as we've said, Radamanthine, you know, they take a stand regardless of consequences. Our people have become so soft and so lukewarm, it's unbelievable. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I forgot to turn my phone off. So, what's that?
Yeah, that's where that comes from. That's Protestant propaganda against Catholics here in Ireland. That's where that stems from, the Black Irish, because they used to compare us to the Negro. So that's where that stems from.
Oh.
There's, yeah, funny, right? So your own brother, like, ridiculous, the whole thing. Denominations have a lot to answer for, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing that has amazed me ever since I've come to know the identity message, was how much time, energy, and blood has been spilt by people who are related to each other. I don't know. It just amazes me to read about how many times in history the white race has been willing to pick up weapons and kill one another. I mean, I remember reading about World War II, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I remember it said that the Irish stayed neutral during the war. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Judeans didn't want to fight the Judeans. Go figure, huh?
Right, and I admired that, because there were stories that some of the ports in Ireland at times would have U.S. naval vessels in it and German vessels and U-boats in the same port, or at least close to each other. But Ireland was neutral, so... Ireland figured it out. They said, we're not going to take sides, because both sides are our people. And so the Irish at least had enough sense to say, we're not going to fight your Jewish war to annihilate white people. So I give the Irish a lot of credit. I mean, I know that they did not get treated well when they came here to the United States. There's a lot of stories about, in fact, I just saw an article yesterday or the day before that said that the Irish indentured servants that came here to the United States were treated worse than the blacks on the plantations. A lot of prejudice against the blacks, or I mean against the Irish.
Did you know that the Irish were sold for less than the Negro during those times?
No, I did not know that.
Hmm. Yeah, so much for the black oppression, huh?
Well, that I've been in three days in a row. I've been on radio. So Monday, I did my interview with Genuine Christianity Now. David interviewed me. Then last night, I got called in the middle of a show out of New Jersey, North Carolina, and. A friend of mine called me and wanted me to participate, and there were two black guys that were part of this group having a discussion on this radio show. And this one black guy was coming off with stuff that was just totally bullshit. And we called him out on it. So it ended into a big shouting match until the host finally took control of the meeting and started muting people so that they weren't screaming and yelling at each other. But it just goes to show that the blacks, some of the blacks, are trying to promote the whole Jewish mythos about how bad the blacks had it here. But, you know, it's funny, the blacks don't ever talk about the very first slave owner in America on this soil. The very first slave owner was a black man.
Yes, sir.
And in the 1800s, the two largest owners of black slaves who lived in Virginia, the two individuals who owned the most slaves were two black guys. Now, they don't ever talk about that. Just like they don't talk about it, it's the blacks in Africa that conquered other blacks that sold them into slavery to begin with. And yet, again, the white man is blamed for what the Jews do. And, you know, they're screaming that we owe them this and owe them that. And it's Jews that bought them, but it was blacks who conquered and sold them into slavery. So their life as slaves was destined whether or not they came here or not. If they had stayed in Africa, they were going to be slaves to another tribe and possibly eaten. And they came over here, and many of them were treated far better here than they would have if they'd stayed in Africa by the other tribes. So, you know, it's just total bullshit that's being shoveled out, and people buy into it. I see we got Randy from Michigan has joined us. Randy, how you doing tonight, bud?
Oh, man, it's a circus out there, ain't it?
Yeah, we were just talking about that. The amount of lying and distortion of truth is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, man, I'm just kind of I like observing and seeing all this, the stuff that's going on, man, but it's, there's still a part of me that's like, damn. We've been completely vindicated, man. We've been telling people for years to, you know, these people are corrupt, to prepare. And it's just, I'm kind of like, I feel completely vindicated now. I mean, this is just the circus show that's going on. I mean, the stuff that's going on, just all this, I mean, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, you got, I think the most troubling thing is like, this Durham report, right? Like, it gets released basically confirming what we already know. Like, these people are all dirty. They're all liars. They're dirty. They're corrupt. There's any name you want to call them. But at the end of the day, we know that they're corrupt, but it's like, now what do we do? I mean, you know, I think we're at that point. The founding fathers had a choice, and they made their choice. And it's like, here we are. We know they're corrupt. We have the documents showing it. The question is now what?
Yeah, that's the question. The number one question I get asked.
I mean, I think there's only two answers, right? We're either going to have to do something, or we're just going to be like, well, we must love living like this. It's either or, right? I mean.
Right. Matt, go ahead, Matt. What were you saying?
Said you will be forced to do something. Eventually, we all have to make a choice, whether it be personal or whether it be in a group. You will have to make a choice, especially you in America. Like, that's going to be the epicenter, is where you folks are. That's where it's happening.
I made my choice a long time ago when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms. But I mean, it's just that's just one right of many that. I mean, those politicians, here's the crazy part, right? They all take this oath to preserve and protect our Constitution. They get elected, right, to take this oath, and then they're passing bills that are in total contradiction of our Constitution. I mean, is that not treason?
Sure.
I mean, and this is stuff that we've been able to point out for years and years, Pastor Dan.
Oh.
And here we are. Now it's really escalating.
Yeah, and you're right, Randy. We have been totally 100% vindicated in what we've been saying on this radio show for 23 and a half years. In fact, it's even worse than we thought. Now, we were warning people of the dangers and of the communist insurrection, and that part was all true, obviously, but I don't even think we were fully aware at just how despicable and evil these SOBs are.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So we were.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that I was doing is comparing just, you know, not really so much like court opinions, but just say, hey, here's what the Constitution says, and then you look at what they're actually doing. You know, stuff that was easy to point out, just saying, hey, there's a problem here. They're lying, they're corrupt, they're not taking this Constitution seriously. The easy stuff. And people just, I guess it was easy to dismiss a lot of that back then because people's lives weren't necessarily being directly affected. But now, I mean, there's a lot of people are losing their jobs, the economy's tough, and now they're looking around going, hey, what's going on? And unfortunately, that's where we are as a people, that a lot of people only care when their lives are being affected. It's sad. It's sad that we've gotten to this level.
I believe that we have come to the time, or we're at least coming to the time, where we too must disregard the ideology of the paper, of what the paper says, of any law. That old quote of, why do you show me laws when I speak with the sword? I believe that this is the ideology that we need to move forward with, because it's the only ideology that is going to work.
I can agree with that, because, I mean, we're at the point that they don't follow it, so why should we follow any of their laws, right? And that's like what all this COVID madness, like, you know, something as stupid as a mask. I went into a store and I said, hey, I'm exempt. I got a medical exemption. That was my small little way of rebelling against them.
Right.
Because why should we follow any of their laws, their mandates, any of it, when they violate our Constitution on a daily basis? So why do we follow any of their laws? I mean, I think it's fair, right?
Yeah, amen. That's why I've been telling people in these different platforms that I go on, there's only one group of men that I'm concerned with, one group of people I'm concerned with as far as trying to wake up and get them involved, and that's particularly the white men, but the white race that's armed, the white men with weapons, whatever kind of weapons they got, they're the guys that I'm the most concerned with. They're the guys I'm trying to wake up the most, because, and Matt's 100% right. Even Mao Zedong said it, and he was a Jewish, even though he's Chinese, he might as well have wore a yarmulke, just like Colin Powell, one of our top generals, could speak fluent Yiddish, even though he was black. He grew up in, I can't remember where it was, somewhere around Washington, D.C., I think, and he spoke fluent Yiddish, so that's why he was chosen. But the point of it is that Mao Zedong said all political power comes out of the barrel of a rifle. And really, when you boil it down, all this other stuff is just hocus-pocus nonsense. It's going to boil down to who are the guys willing to stand up with weapons to defend what they believe in, defend the people that they love and care for, but also defend their faith and defend their culture. And that's the group that I'm desperately trying to motivate and get energized here, because, I mean, we're running out of time. I yield.
Yeah, I believe that.
Go ahead,
Randy.
Okay. Now, with Pastor Dan just saying that, the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of people in the media very critical of what the word we would use, insurrection. Like they demonize this as if it's a bad thing, and I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that how our country was formed? Like, isn't that what we celebrate every July 4th? Like, we are a people that rebel against tyrants, and literally, wasn't it an insurrection technically that formed our country? But they want us to think that having an insurrection is a bad thing. When the Declaration of Independence is clear, and I've quoted this many times, and I'll quote it again, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right and it is the duty of the people to alter it, to abolish it, and to institute new government. Sounds like an insurrection to me, folks. That don't sound like a bad thing. But they want us to, they're always trying to demonize us. Of course, we know they hate the Founding Fathers too. They hate them because these were white men that weren't afraid to take the stand. That's why they hate them, and they'll hate any one of them. They'll hate all of us too because we dare speak out against them.
Mm-hmm.
We are a people of rebellion against tyrants. That's our history. That's who we are. We're not going to lay down and play dead. That's who we are. And so many of our people have just simply forgotten our history. Look at the Durham report. All the stuff, all the FBI is corrupt and all this. And that. Look, folks, it's in the Declaration of Independence. If you go back and read all the grievances, you'll see that history is repeating itself because we've forgotten history. It says right there, they were talking about the king at the time, but it says, he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass and eat out the substance of our people. Think about that in modern terms. The FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, the IRS, the DOJ, it's the same damn thing. History is repeating itself. Just like they want to take away our guns. They've been doing that since the beginning of time. History is repeating itself.
Well, that's where...
Here's our chance.
Right. That's where each individual... You don't need a group of people to do this. Each individual has to make a decision on what hill are they willing to die on. Every individual has to do that. And a lot of us have said, the hill I'm going to die on is when they try to disarm me. When they try to disarm me or put a poison in my arm, those two things I will not allow, even to the point of dying. And when enough men decide that that's the hill they're willing to die on, then things are going to start changing. Things are going to start changing because that's the next step. Because they're setting it up to where they're demonizing us. That tells you who the next target is. They're demonizing the white race, particularly the white men that are willing to fight. So they're demonizing us. That tells you that we're the next target. So we're running out of time for sitting on the fence. People aren't going to be able to sit on the fence much longer. And every single one of us will have to make that critical decision of what hill am I willing to die on? I yield.
Yeah, that's a personal decision everybody's going to have to make.
Because you look at it, the guys that got together at Lexington Green that day, I'm sure they all thought that there's just 70-some guys here against a whole, whatever it was, a regiment or a battalion of the British Redcoats. And... you know, I'm sure they thought, well, this is kind of, you know, ridiculous, but they all said, well, we're only 70, but we're not going to let them come into our church and take our rifles and our black powder and our musket balls. We're not going to let them do that. And so we don't even know who fired the first shot. We don't even know. It could have been a Rothschild agent over in the woods somewhere off to the side. Pull the trigger on a rifle and the two sides just started shooting at each other. We don't know that because that could easily have happened because it was a volatile situation. And as soon as somebody heard a round go off, then okay, that was it. And the war got started. And I have a feeling it's going to be similar to this now. People with common sense know that we're running out of time. These people will not relent. They will not give up. They're dug in like a tick. Okay? Communists don't give up, ever. There's only one way to deal with a communist, and it's the way in the 1940s and the 1950s, white people were commonly saying, kill a commie for mommy. All right? You don't negotiate with communists. You kill them. That's the only solution. Go ahead, Matt.
Funnily enough, the Jew is akin to as, and I say the word intellectually very loosely because I don't consider the Jews to be smart, I consider them to be cunning, but as intellectual as the Jew is, akin to the Negro, they only understand violence. It's all they understand. It's all they ever have understood, and it's all they ever will understand.
Amen. You know, if you watch Europa, The Last Battle, or if you read Hellstorm, or any of the other accounts of what the communist Bolshevik Jews did to the white Russian men, women, and children, if your blood is not boiling as you read what these monsters, and you know who was the worst, believe it or not, who was the most violent and vicious murderers and torturers of these Bolshevik Jews? The women. Their women were far worse even than the men in their violence to people. Okay? They are sick people. Now, I know there's people out there, well, I've got a neighbor who's Jew and they're just fine. I'm going to tell you something. As a people, and you got to treat people as a group. They have a group psychosis, if you want to call it, a group characteristic. There's always exceptions within any group, but you do not make policy based on the exceptions. You make policy for war, you make policy for domestic tranquility based on the generalization. And you know that's true because the Jews try to tell you that, well, you're stereotyping and that's not right. Well, that's because if you stereotype, the Jews wouldn't be allowed in anywhere. Okay, so they have to get you to believe that that's somehow, quote, prejudiced or not right. But the truth of the matter is, no, you do have to do that. Okay, when I see a snake on the ground, I assume it's venomous and could hurt me. Unless I know for a fact it's the kind that isn't, I will assume the worst. When I see a group of six black teenagers on the street and they want me to come over to give them a light on their cigarette, I'm not going to assume they want to make friends with me. I'm going to assume that they want me to come over there so they could jump me and rob me. Now, it may not be true, but I will assume that and I will act accordingly. And the same thing goes for us as a race of people. You've got, you know, and these Jews, again, I've told people, do you think it's a coincidence that every rabbit hole we go down following the trail of money that supports all of the things destroying our Christian Caucasian nations, every one of those rabbit holes ends up at the foot of a Jew? Every one of them. And that's just a coincidence?
Coincidence is an anti-Canaanite term, Dan. I don't appreciate that.
No, there are no coincidences.
Absolutely. I say that very sarcastically, by the way.
I know.
you know. Adam Schiff, the Jew in Congress, is being heavily criticized at the moment. We'll see where it actually goes. But there's calls for crimes of treason being levied against him. I would like for it to happen. I'm still kind of like, I'll believe it when it actually happens. I mean, that's just where I'm at. I've seen a lot of this go on for years. So I'm just kind of like, hey, I mean, that's cool. But hey, we'll believe it when it happens. But there's still a part of me that's quite satisfied that this Jew is being called out for treason.
No, and, it's all a show, Randy.
We've got the pictures with Adam Schiff, and I think, I don't know if it was his son or I can't remember who the boy was in the picture, but he was wearing a Mossad shirt. So, I mean, none of us are surprised by that.
I'll cheer when I see armed white men being led by white men grab these bastards and haul them off for a tribunal. When I see that, then I'm going to think justice is coming. Until then, it's all a show, just like Matt was just saying.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with that.
The only time any justice is going to be done by us. the white men and women who follow our Heavenly Father. That's it. There is no other justice going to come. Everybody else is just a player. All right? You take a look at these zombies. You look at these heads of state. You look at these military leaders and all that, and the so-called white hats and all that. Where are they? If they're so timid that they got to hide all the time, then how are they going to win a war? And I don't buy this. Well, it's military, and you got to do it in secrecy. Really? I'm sorry, but to me, you conduct warfare by putting your banner in the ground and saying, here I am on the hill, and I'm not moving. And you are my enemy. You know, we've talked about that, Randy, on this program for 23 years. We've openly stated we are the enemies of these Zionist communist bastards doing what they're doing to the world. We're your enemy. We openly state it. Right here, right now, we'll say it again. As long as I breathe, I am your enemy. As long as I breathe, I will use every weapon that Yahweh puts in my hands to expose you first, and when the day comes, to round you up and bring justice.
Amen.
You don't hide that.
I really rattled the cages. I think it was back in... It's kind of funny to sit back and reminisce about all this now, but I think it was 2009, I think, when I first ran for precinct delegate. I'm sure I've talked about this on your program before.
Yes, and, you did, yep.
Yeah, they this is going back 2009. You know, this and I confronted these people because, you know, they weren't allowing me to participate in something that I had duly been elected for. And they wouldn't let me participate, and I showed up with a video camera, and I confronted them. So, you know, I see a lot of people, like, on the various social media platforms doing these confrontations, and I'm like, I did this back in 2009, and they slapped me with a misdemeanor. It's like, you know, I thought back then, you know, we still had somewhat of a fair court system and free speech applied. And, yeah, they just, you know. If you become a target, man, this isn't the game, folks. I mean, they will come for you, and be ready for them. They will come for you.
And they will lie. They
scare anybody. Yes, absolutely. There, I had documentation proving, actual documentation from the county, showing that this political party didn't even have the proper authorization to use that meeting room. Did the jury ever get to see that information? Nope.
Right.
They sure that was kind of my awakening to how dirty these people really are. And
you know,
I'm glad I learned all this now, because because leading up to now, all the stuff that's coming out, I'm not surprised at all. These are some dirty, crooked bastards. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal. I've had the system come at, I'm not bragging, but I've had the system come at me a couple of times. You know, I'll say it like this. I've lost one, and I won one. I don't think they want to mess with me too much anymore.
Go ahead, Matt. I think you were trying to say something.
You know, I have a couple of buddies I meet maybe every couple of months, and I speak very candidly when I'm out. We kind of go for a couple of drinks or whatever, and they say, oh, you know, you gotta keep quiet with what you say, you know. And I often meet folks as well that are, I'll see what your ideology is, and if you're okay, I'll come out. I'll come all the way out, you know, and I'll say, and I'll tell you straight up, I'll say, I hate the Jews. I hate them. And they'll say, oh, you shouldn't say that. And I say, we are men. We have the luxury of being bold. That is the luxury of being a man, is to be bold. For as long as you can. Whilst you're young in particular. You know, I'm 25. Be bold while you can, because one day you will no longer be able to be bold. And this is the way we should move forward all the time. Straightforward, with force. Be bold in your beliefs.
Amen. And there's an old saying that courage is contagious. And that's what's been lacking most of my adult life. I've noticed that the white race has had very few genuine leaders. Very few. none of the preachers qualify. None of them. None of the mainstream preachers were our leaders. Most of the military men at the higher levels were all compromised. They were all political. The government people, same thing, all compromised. So the white race has had pitifully few leaders since the 1930s. Okay, the Germans obviously had a bold set of men in charge there, and it made their country turn around in a heartbeat. That's what the Jew is afraid of. They are scared to death that the white race will rally and resist them, because one country did it and almost defeated them. If it weren't for the United States and our moronic people who allowed themselves to be lied to and duped into that war, they may have ended up winning that war. They certainly had the better military and the better moral values, etc., and they were staunch anti-communists. And if it weren't for the media and the liars and traitors amongst our people here in the United States, they probably could have won that war. So that's why the Jew is afraid. One country of pissed off white guys that figured out what they're up to almost overturned their table in the temple, so to speak. So what would happen if a worldwide effort by white people to awaken and undo their machinations, their insidious plans for this world? And then these white people that do wake up and determine that they're going to stop this, all of a sudden these Jews find out that there's elements within these other races that recognize what's going on, and they actually sign up to aid and abet the white men who are going to stop this nonsense. It's no wonder they have sleepless nights. It's no wonder they're schizophrenic and paranoia, because they should.
Now, it's just my opinion, but it just kind of looking at all the things that are going on. I mean, it seems like we're kind of like on a teeter totter with that situation right now. It could go either way, right? We're on the verge of just fully obliterating these people, or we're going to be destroyed. It's like one or the other. That's what it feels like.
Look at all of the hate speech laws that they're passing in the West now. As my dad says, the Jew is running scared. They know that we know that they know that we know, as Solzhenitsyn said. They know. They're running scared. They wouldn't be passing all these laws now, particularly here, as I said, now. Like, I mean, the library I have here in my house, I'd go to prison for it, just for having it, and I'd have to prove my innocence. You're guilty until proven innocent in this country now. And because of the library that I have here, I do time. It's absolutely scandalous, but the Jew is running scared. That's the long and the short of it. They wouldn't be passing all of these laws right now if they didn't know that we knew, because the internet is blowing up, and that's why you're getting all of these, that they're trying to pass all the internet laws, even over there in the States now. They know they're in trouble.
Well, in Michigan, our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. We've got the pictures. Direct ties to Morris Dees and that whole outfit that pushes that exact thing with the hate crime laws. That's who's running the Michigan Secretary of State right now, Jocelyn Benson. Direct ties to Morris Dees.
I suppose you saw that. I suppose you saw that Sven Longshank was imprisoned for 2.5 years in the UK.
I didn't see that. No, he's in prison now.
Yeah, he just got locked up like maybe 2 days ago.
I know that name. I can't remember what it's associated with.
He's on Albion Radio.
Oh, okay.
I don't listen to him, but I listened to his last broadcast, and he was saying, yeah, at the start of it, he said, "We'll see how this goes now." And he said, "Look, if you don't hear from me, the other broadcasters will keep going." But yeah, 2.5 years for saying things that are very racist. You know, we can't have racism. It's a stain on society, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting you brought that up because our Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, who was is a lesbian. She doesn't hide that fact. She had put out on her Twitter, and I'll read this. This is what she put out. On International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, the Department of Attorney General reaffirms that all forms of bigotry have no place in Michigan. So you can see that they're really ramping up that what they call, you know, the hate crime legislation type stuff. And they've recently done some stuff with the civil rights laws in Michigan, where that's definitely where they're headed in Michigan. They want to take people like us that speak out against them and actually have us prosecuted. That's where we are headed in Michigan.
Isn't that
coupled that with the fact that they want to take away our guns in Michigan as well?
So. Isn't that an old Goebbels quote where he says, when the Jews... something along the lines, I'm obviously paraphrasing, but when the Jews pass laws against hate speech against the Jews, that marks the fall of the Jews.
I'm not familiar with that one, but it makes sense. Like you said, to me, it's indicative of what they're up to when they're paranoid that they're losing. Okay,
yes.
They've done all their propaganda. They've had total control of propaganda in this country for probably 200 years, maybe longer. They literally could guide us anywhere they wanted us by just controlling radio stations and newspapers. And then when television came out, controlling the television. They had total control over all of those. And with that control, they could guide us by the multiple tens of millions like a herd of cattle. And they pretty much got away with literally murder, world wars, all kind of mayhem. And for the first time, Yahweh has allowed us to circumvent their controlled media. If you think about it, ever since the mid-1990s now, so we're going on, what, 20, over 20 years, almost 30 years now, we have been given a tool to go around their controlled media. And so for 2.5 decades now, we have been able to put truths out there that was very, very difficult to get out to the masses up until that time. And now, instantaneously, we can put out what these people are up to all over the entire earth within a matter of seconds. And they've never had to deal with that. And so I look at this as the Father has given us this because he said that all things that have been hidden will become known. Living through the prophecies that said that these scoundrels would be revealed. That's what apocalypse means, the unveiling, the revealing. And that's what's happening. The cover is being removed, and the ugly face behind that cover, the Jew, is out there. They cannot deny what they have been doing. There's just too much truth now coming out. And so
all the censorship's being exposed, and who is behind all of that?
Exactly.
I mean, it's all being exposed, folks, just like the Bible said that the truth will set us free. And everything's being revealed. It's right.
And
outside.
It does say that their vanity will be part of their undoing. And the Jews are extremely vain people. And they're very narcissistic. They went through all this work, and they're so close, and they're getting pissed off that they're going to lose it. Okay? They think, well, we finally took centuries and centuries of planning and backstabbing and murder and intrigue and spying to get where we're in control. We're there. We're ready to take over the world. And all of a sudden, here comes a bunch of freedom fighters and truth tellers over the internet. And the white man, once again, is a thorn in our side. They just won't give up. They won't stop and just let us be in charge. No, we're not. We're not going to stop. Because it also says that at some point, our Heavenly Father is going to give us the green light, and out come the swords. Out come the weapons at that point. And it's time to go like a flame in a fire, as Obadiah says very, very plainly. Our people become a flame in a fire, and they are as stubble. Okay? That means annihilation. So at some point, they know it, and that's another reason they're so paranoid. See, before, they could always just gather up their stuff and move into another country and start all over again. Well, for the first time in history, there's nowhere else for them to run. They've already abused almost every continent on this earth to the point where the people now see them for what they are. There's nowhere to run. And for the first time in history, the white man's not going to let them run and hide, as Obadiah and Ezekiel both say the destiny of our people is to track them down and make them pay for all the innocent blood that they have shed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
They had it so good for so long, didn't they?
They had it so good for so long, they became complacent. They became, well, as it says, their vanity, their chutzpah is going to be their undoing. Go ahead, Matt. What were you saying?
I said they've become sloppy above all. I mean, look at everything that they're doing nowadays. Very, very sloppy work. But just to back up what you were saying, you're absolutely right. The internet is a double-edged sword just as much for us as it is for the Jew, because it exposes us as individuals just as much as it exposes the Jew as a whole. And it's very dangerous for everyone involved. And so no one, as you said, the Jews have nowhere to go, nor do we. We have nowhere to go either. So this is it. This is this, so long as the short of it.
That's right. This is it. And this is where the prophet said that our Father expects us men to put a standard in the ground. That's a banner or a flag, a standard. We are to put a standard in the ground saying, this is the hill we'll die on. Here's our standard, Yahweh himself. We are his children. And we're not going to allow you to turn this world into hell. No. Just because you're going to do the will of your Father, spiritually or otherwise, turning this place into the direct opposite of what our Heavenly Father intended it to be. We won't let that happen. We're putting our standard in the ground. We're backing up no further. It is time to take up the sword and defend what we love, our land, our people, our resources, and our homes. We have that right as men of Yahweh, as free men and women upon the land. Those are our God-given rights. We don't need pieces of paper to approve that. We don't. Amen. That's in our hearts, and that is just common sense and natural law. Go ahead, Matt.
I said, amen, amen. And actually, Dan, we do have the piece of paper. We have the word. The word is our piece of paper.
Yeah, you're right. The only law that matters, and that's Yahweh's law. That's exactly right. If there is a piece of paper that matters, it's the laws that come from the Most High, not these groups of traitors and sycophants who have been bought and paid for by these Jewish bankers and mobsters. That the stuff they put on paper is meaningless, absolutely meaningless. So, and again, once our people realize that, once they shake this nonsensical idea that we have to obey a law simply because a bunch of retards put it on paper, I mean, come on. We should have figured that out in the 1970s when these miscreants and cretins in Washington put it on paper that it was okay to murder a baby. We should have figured it out then. How can you put on paper it's okay to kill a baby? Come on.
Well, I wasn't born until 78, but I agree.
Well, I wasn't born until 98. Give me a break.
Okay, youngster.
How many years ago was it now? I can't remember. I think their videos are still on YouTube, believe it or not. It was called the Center for Medical Progress. And they went undercover and exposed these abortionists. And, you know, of course, they didn't know they were being video recorded. They were literally trying to, like, make a deal. Like, you know, they're getting a deal for these aborted little babies. You know, they're talking about, like, getting Lamborghinis. And it's just like, if you ever wanted to know what the devil sounds and looks like, you just go watch those videos. The Center for Medical Progress. You know, they went after David Dalton, too. They went after him for exposing these evil bastards. They sure went after him.
Oh,
I gotta,
absolutely.
I got to say...
That was years and years ago he did that work.
Yeah. Good, Matt.
I got to say, at the moment I'm reading Fearful Master by Edward Griffin, and in it he's got a quote from Lenin in it. And it speaks very true what Lenin says. He said something along the lines of, it's a lot harder to turn the backwards countries communists, because in our countries we are obviously intellectuals and therefore they can play the intellectual game, whereas in the backwards countries it's all primitive. So in regards to the abortions, like, it's just killing kids, but they change the name. They say, oh, now it's a fetus, and they could play these intellectual games with us. And this is how they have pulled the rope, so to speak, that has been wrapped around us so long.
Yeah, like out there in the mainstream, that's the terminology that they use. But for those of us looking at it from a biblical
perspective, that's exactly what I'm saying.
This is a demonic religion that murders little babies. It's satanic ritual. That's really what it is.
Oh yeah.
But they sit there and play these mind games, like, oh, it's just a woman's right to choose. And a lot of these women, I'm not making excuses for these women, but they don't even understand, or maybe they do, I don't know, but they are literally participating in a satanic ritual, murdering their babies.
Randy.
I mean, that's how
Randy,
sick our society is.
Randy, you can look on TikTok on these videos where these women celebrate.
I'd rather not, but...
These women celebrate their abortions. It's beyond sick, you know. It's not. These women, they're like, oh my God, I'm pregnant, and they're like, ha ha ha. Well, I'm getting an abortion on Tuesday. You're like, you kidding me? Oh yeah, yeah. These people are sick. Oh, these people are sick, and there's many of them. There's many of them. And they're every color under the sun, white, blue, brown, green, yellow, whatever. They celebrate it. So these people are fit for the grave as far as I'm concerned.
And that is another reason to never surrender your firearms. Could you imagine if we had no way to defend ourselves? Those kind of people that are willing, more than capable of murdering their own babies, what they would do to 80 of us?
Not even willing and capable, celebratory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, if someone who can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities, just changing the title of an infant from baby to fetus, the weak-minded people accepted murder. So it proves what Voltaire said long ago to be true. If they can get you to believe an absurdity, that that's just all of a sudden a clump of cells, which comes right out of the Talmud, by the way, it's just a clump of cells called a fetus, now it's okay to murder babies. I mean, how absurd is that? And yet people believed it. And so now, ever since the 1970s, they've got us to commit atrocities. Look what we did to the Iraqis. Look what we did to Serbia. Look what we did to Afghanistan. Everywhere else, the American military has gone murdering and butchering people for the military-industrial complex. I mean, come on. We've committed all manner of atrocities.
They have used our country like they've used all countries all throughout history as a pawn in their sick, twisted, satanic chess game. That's what they've done. They've done it to all of us.
Yeah.
Well, it's do or die now.
Other countries had the nerve to kick them out, right? Because eventually they caught on and got tired of it.
I think Matt's right. I think it's do or die time very, very, very soon. So people had better shape up here real quick. I see we got Kumri has joined us. Kumri, welcome. You're a little bit on the late side, bud.
Better late than never, though, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I unmuted you. You're muted at your end if you want to say something.
Yeah, I muted myself. I'm just heading out to work. And, yeah, I am late because I just dawned on me that today's Wednesday. One of the issues of working third shift, you always forget what day it was. I kept thinking it was Tuesday.
Thursday here.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt's over in Ireland, so they're ahead of us by, what is it, 5 hours, I think, Matt?
Five on the dot. It's 2 a.m.
2 a.m., okay. Yep. So, yep. I remember working swing shift when I was a young man about Matt's age. Well, in the military, we had to work 7/12s a lot. And then even in the power plants that I worked in, we worked swing shift quite often. And it would tear you up. I mean, you couldn't get good sleep. You didn't know what day it was. And you weren't sure about much of anything. Your social life went to hell because you're on a schedule.
Like,
totally
it's
different.
It's like living on Mars, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's inhuman, okay? We shouldn't be doing it, okay? We do it because people pay us money, and we actually do harm to ourselves because it puts money in our pockets. And I'm not trying to blame anybody. When I was a young man and raising children, I did lots of things that I look back on now I probably shouldn't have done. They weren't the healthiest things for me anyway, but it paid the bills and allowed the wife and children to have the things that I thought it was my job to provide them. But again, in a world that's run according to Yahweh's law, that would be ridiculous. We don't need what Satan's kids have told us that we should be seeking after. All right? We don't need their baubles. We don't need Mystery Babylon's delicacies. That's what Revelation calls it. All of these gadgets and technology and all that stuff. They got us believing we need that stuff. We don't need that stuff. And in many cases, it's harmful. It's harmful to produce. It hurts the environment. And the use of these devices is harmful to our bodies. So someday we have to wake up to stop allowing ourselves to be manipulated simply by dangling. And now they're not even dangling Federal Reserve notes or paper currency. They're dangling electronic shekels that only exist in computers. So they don't actually exist. They're just digits in a computer. And we're going to war for that.
I personally believe that the CBDC is going to be the mark of the beast, personally. Because I think it is going to come. I don't think any of us can avoid it. And I think that is what will be. I don't know if anyone here disagrees with me. But it's the only thing that I could see. Initially, I thought it was the vax. I think like many, but the vax wasn't as ubiquitous as the CBDC is going to be, and I think it's going to happen. I don't think we can avoid it. I think that it will happen. I'd like to know what you guys think of that.
Well, I think, yeah, they're definitely going to push it. I'm just hoping it ends up like the vaccine mandate. I don't know how long that will take, but hopefully, they'll announce it, push it, show us their cards, and then I'm hoping ultimately the people will resist and say no.
Well, Randy,
a
simple crash of the economic system, which is what is going to happen. I mean, they could
think it
keep.
Needs to happen.
Well, it obviously needs to happen. The system needs to be destroyed.
Corrupt. I mean, you can't fix it. Exactly.
Well, it needs to be destroyed, but this currency that we are all under, whether it be the dollar or whether it be the euro, they're fiat currencies, so they could keep those trudging along forever like a dog in a pool that is paddling with no way out. They could do that forever. So long as they please, because it's backed by nothing. There's just zeros on a computer. Once they decide to crash it, the CBDC will be inevitable, in my opinion.
Right. Yep, and that's where... As it was in the days of Noah, that's the position we'll be in, and that's where I'm looking for the ark. What form the ark's going to take for his people, not everybody else. Everybody else is going to be trapped.
But it's a strange one, isn't it? Because we're so sparse.
Somehow we're going to be able to get around it. Just like Randy said, even in the height of all the stupidity and garbage going on with the COVID scam, Randy challenged it. I challenged it. I never put a mask on I've never put a mask on since this started. That's 3.5 years. Never put a mask on, never wore one into a store, and yet I was able to go in and get what I needed and everything else. Now, they gave me a hard time and everything, but I challenged them.
You stood your ground.
And I stood my ground. So, again, there were thousands of people probably with masks on and getting stabbed and everything else to everyone that was standing there saying, no, I'm not going to do it, and I don't have to do it. That was the ironic thing that just floored me. Every mandate that I read, every single mandate they put out had exemptions in it, but nobody would use them. They were so timid and so afraid of being called a name or to have the spotlight on them for a few minutes. They were so timid, they wouldn't even use the mandate's exemption that was in their paperwork.
People are cowards.
Unbelievable. And I think it's going to be the same way with this. Yes, it will be ubiquitous. But that doesn't mean there isn't a back door for those brave enough to go through it that Yahweh will provide for his children. I believe that with all my heart. He's given us a back door to every other stupid-ass thing that the New World Order has done, if you had enough courage to do it. The problem with our people is they are the lukewarm that Yahshua talked about, that he will vomit out of his mouth. And I can now understand why he would say that, because I want to vomit these sons of bitches out of my mouth. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to talk to them. And I don't even want to wake them up anymore. I just want them to disappear. I would rather be left with the lions of my race, even if we only measured a few hundred thousand, than I would with millions of these zombies that don't have any balls, don't have any intuition, don't have any discernment, no guts, no glory. They just go along to get along, little sheep, tell me what to do, Mr. Jew, I'll do it, just promise to give me some more shekels so I can go down and get some more fake food or ride around in your Tesla car that burns and blows up on me. Yes, I will do whatever you command of me, Master Jew. That's our people. No wonder he said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. It's disgusting.
Dan, I didn't know you were fluent in sheep.
during the craziness of the pandemic, I actually wrote two letters to the governor of Michigan, and I signed it John Hancock style. I'd like to read one, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Ronnie.
This is going back to 2020. I may have read them on this program before, but this was just showing that they never fooled all of us. And this is one of the letters I wrote. I posted it all over social media. It's dated April 8th, 2020. Reference executive orders and enforcement. Here's what I told her. The numerous executive orders issued by the governor of Michigan and other elected officials threatening punishment for exercising their God-given rights as demanded by the Bill of Rights and other documents is unconstitutional and anti-American. I find it outrageous that those who swore an oath to support and defend our Constitution have quickly stated their willingness to trample on the rights of others and fine them for not obeying executive orders. This letter will serve as notice that I will not comply voluntarily. I have great respect for the various founding documents of this nation and will not obey tyrants. As a final reminder, for those that choose to enforce the executive orders, your claim of, quote, I was just following orders, end quote, is not a historical legal defense. I sent that to the governor.
Yeah. Did they respond?
No. But we've been completely vindicated because all their executive orders have been declared unconstitutional.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And here's the other thing.
Founding fathers put their reasons on paper too and signed it. I mean, that's all I was doing. Letting them, like, hey, I'm not, you know, everybody else can go jump off the cliff. Not me. Not me.
Amen.
Well, Randy, you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head at the very start there where you said, my God-given rights.
Yes, that's where the rights come from.
That's the biggest thing, and it's the biggest thing they've tried to destroy, and that is why we sit here today in a secular society, because how can one fight divine rights? It's simply impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. And this is why they've tried to destroy it time and time again.
Who are they to tell us what kind of firearms we can or can't have? I mean, who are they to tell us?
I would know, Randy. I've never had them. But, you know, I'm happy for you folks.
Aren't
the tyrants have shipped weapons to countries all around the world? I mean, maybe we can get something drafted and we can get you a whole box of them set.
Well, I'll give you my address, Randy. You can send them over.
let's get with that fake Joe Biden and see if he'll send you over some.
Hey, Randy, if you can get them to my house, I'll get busy. You won't hear from me again, but I'll get busy.
Oh, Lordy.
One of the first smoke screens they did is they detracted us from our God-given rights by getting everyone to believe that the Constitution gave us our rights. They're, quote, constitutional rights. And the moment we believed the piece of paper gave us the rights, now they could come around and say, well, we're going to take these away.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's why I did use the words that I did in my letter. Because, I mean, we all know where our rights derive from. You know, we know that.
And by the way, when they do things like what Jeremiah was just saying, it's considered sorcery. It's word sorcery, okay? And that's part of the definition of pharmakia, which is what they're famous of using, okay? Word magic or word sorcery. Changing, just like what they did with calling babies fetuses, all right? They changed it from peace officers to law enforcement, all right? Peace officers were members of the community, and they were just there to maintain the peace. As long as everybody was getting along, they didn't bother anybody. Now they're law enforcement officers. That means any law that these douchebags come up with, their job is to enforce it, not to have discretion, not to be part of the community. You just get out there and enforce the law. Well, okay, guys, but I'm going to tell you something. When the revolution comes down, there's no excuse, as Randy said. I'm just doing my job is not going to save you. All right? Violating people's rights, harming people, and assisting and abetting the communists in taking over this country, those are unforgivable under any circumstances. And there will be a price to pay for that. I mean, that's common knowledge. Look at history. It always happens. And that's why I've been telling people for 23 years, if you're in uniform, be careful. Just wearing that uniform does not give you a right to violate God's law. It does not. It never has conferred the right to violate God's law, ever. And there will
Michigan's got some retribution. Got some dirty cops too, brother.
Everybody's got dirty cops. Everybody's got dirty right now.
You know, one of the he's not the sheriff now. He didn't run again. But the previous sheriff, he was off duty at the time. But when he got stopped for a DUI, he literally admitted on that video. It was the police body cam video that got released. He's saying stuff on there like, oh, because he's trying to get out of trouble, right? He was saying stuff like, well, there's things that you can do so people won't find out. It's like, yeah, keep talking, buddy. We know you guys are corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of stuff. And it's like, if it wasn't for these cameras, we know that they do stuff like that, but we wouldn't have the proof. I mean, these people are just dirty.
You guys are missing
because they're authority that they can do whatever they want and get away with crimes.
You guys are missing the bigger point here. These people have mortgages to pay. They've got roofs over their heads. Do you understand how much a mortgage is these days? These people are very justified in destroying your rights. As far as I'm concerned,
right.
Very, very justified.
Yeah, we'll destroy somebody else, but boy, don't expose them, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not just the mortgage payments. They have their internet bill they got to pay. Can you imagine life without the internet?
All right, guys.
We're just getting warmed up. You ain't quitting on us now, are you?
You guys are being facetious.
I exposed another dirty cop here recently in Michigan, if you want to hear about that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was it happened late last year. I told people a long time ago, this particular town, the same town, right, that when I got elected and I confronted them, they come after me. I've been exposing all the dirty, corrupt politicians in that town. Well, I just told you about the sheriff and what he said on the video, because, like I said, they're all corrupt. But this latest one happened last year. They tried to keep it out of the news, but when it finally hit the news, we started unraveling what they didn't want us to know. It turns out city police officer in this town, Midland, Jason Gattrell, it turns out through the 911 audio tape that we got a hold of, which, of course, no mainstream news media ever published any of that. I did. He's saying on the audio, because he got caught with the DUI, but he's trying to make it seem like, oh, he had a seizure. He had a near-on, head-on collision with somebody, very close to having a head-on collision. Luckily, that was avoided. But then he's lying and talking about, oh, well, you know, I've been having some problems with seizures. No, it turned out he was drunk, and now he's lying. And then I got a copy of the video from the Michigan State Police where the one deputy sheriff that's in that video is confirming what I already knew through the 911 audio tape, where he's saying, because he's like, well, supposedly this guy called in and the city cop is saying that he's been having seizures. This deputy sheriff then said, he's talking to the Michigan State Police. He's saying, I went and asked his wife if he's been having problems with seizures, and she had no clue about any of it. This guy got caught red-handed lying. And guess what? Yeah, he got slapped with the DUI, but he gets to remain on the police force. And now, this is a known, documented liar. How many times do you think he's been in a courtroom lying his ass off about people? I bet you he has.
Sure.
These people get caught all the time, and they're not held accountable. It's sickening. And that's all in this one town. The sheriff I told you about, now you got this the city police officer. And not only that, but the guy who's the I've talked about this stuff over the years on your program, but the guy that's the sheriff now in that town, he got caught the last election cycle, the one he didn't win. He got caught removing campaign signs. Well, guess what? They're all in the same political party, right? So you think the prosecutor's actually going to prosecute him? No. He just got to say, oh, when he got caught, oh, it was just a misunderstanding. Oh, but guess what? Not too long ago, he had posted something on social media. His campaigns were being vandalized. And guess what? He's out there saying, well, if these people are caught, they should be prosecuted. Well, wait a minute. When you got caught, you just got to say it was a misunderstanding. That's how sick and corrupt these people are. And I've exposed all of them. It feels great. It feels great.
Righteousness is supposed to be an attribute of our leaders. Standard. Right. We don't have righteous leadership, okay? People have not demanded righteousness in their leaders. They're accepting these automatons and cretins to be their leaders, which is ludicrous. Why? You wouldn't follow any of these guys into a battle, would you? I wouldn't.
No. The leader is as good as the follower, and the follower is as good as the leader.
That's right. I like what the Emperor Trajan said to his Roman legions one time. They were getting ready to go into battle, and he took a sword and he held it up and he said, use this sword against my enemies if I issue righteous commands. But if I issue unrighteous commands, use this sword against me. Now, can you see any of these pieces of shit we call leaders today saying that? Take those weapons and go after bad guys, but when I'm issuing unrighteous commands, use those weapons on me. That's exactly what should be done. The legions of white armed men should be holding all of these sons of bitches accountable for their deeds. You want to clean up this world, start holding them accountable for their deeds. It's not an act of hatred. It's not an act of racism. It's not an act of white supremacy. It's a natural law. It's a biblical law. People who commit crimes are to be held accountable. In fact, scripture even says your land is cursed until you avenge the spilling of innocent blood. And we got a lot of innocent blood that we have not held anybody accountable for.
We got a lot to make up for.
The wicked rule over us, right? How the people mourn. That's what's happening.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to tell you, you want to see this world change in a hurry? Start seeing gallows built for 20 to 50 people and 50 of these crooked bastards hanging from ropes on those gallows. Things will change quickly.
Do you think that, personally, I'm not sure if I believe that a white revolution will happen before our father returns. Do you think that that is a possibility? Or do you think that one comes before the other? Or do you think that the other becomes before the prior?
It could go either way, because we are his representatives. We are the many-membered body of Christ here now. And it says in Jeremiah, we are his battle axe and weapons of war. We are the instrument he uses on the wicked. So whether he comes back in physical form or not, that was the commission that was given to us. And you're right. I have no idea if that righteous Ezekiel 37 army is going to rise up before he shows up or after. I don't know the timeline. I haven't been given that kind of insight and premonition from the Father. I don't know. Or could they be simultaneous? I don't know.
I do believe this, that part, at least part, of like during this COVID nonsense and the stuff that they were trying to do and implement, I don't know how to put it any other way than it was the hand of God himself that unwound all that garbage. I mean, we're still in a world of hurt with a lot of stuff we have to deal with, but for the mere fact that a lot of that got reversed and declared unconstitutional, I mean, we got to take our victory where we can get them at this point. Because
the problem is
exposed with all that.
The problem is, Randy, as long as these creatures exist, they don't give a damn about the court decisions. Okay,
well,
they say it's unconstitutional, but they still implement it. They still push it on people. Like I said, they even had mandates that said clearly in the mandate that there were exemptions, and yet there were cops beating people up for not putting on a goddamn mask. What the hell's wrong with people? Pieces of paper with words on them mean nothing to unrighteous automatons with weapons, badges, and uniforms. Or people in corporate offices. They don't give a damn about court decisions. That's obvious. The only thing a tyrant, in this case Zionist communists, understand and fear is the point of a bayonet. That's the only thing that they fear, is that somebody's going to hold them accountable up to and including putting a bayonet right through their heart. That's the only thing that makes them change. And they'll only change as long as they think you're going to put the bayonet in them. If you let them get away, as our ancestors did thousands of years ago, which to our chagrin, they should not have done that, so that they could become a thorn in our side yet again. But Obadiah says at some point, our people become a flame in a fire, and they will put an end to this idiocy that plagues all of mankind. All of mankind, not just our people, all of mankind is under the thumb of these monsters in shoe leather, because we haven't had enough guts to go against the ruling authorities to do God's will upon the earth, which is to put these people to the sword for the murders, the rapes, and destruction of this earth. Because that's what he commands.
The problem, again, where I will always come back to, is that the individuals that do have guts, the individuals like ourselves, which are willing to die on the hill, so to speak, were everywhere. And the problem with being everywhere is that we are also nowhere. And this has been the biggest problem for us, and it will continue to be the problem for us. And this is why I hold that pessimistic view of I don't see it ever coming together the way that we would like it to.
Because the white man has not repented yet. When the white people repent, then that's when it will come together. But in the meantime, we individually have the right to defend ourselves. And if defending ourselves means three or four of us form a little cell that we are willing to do whatever it takes to defend anybody trying to harm people in our cell, that is within God's law. We have the right to defend ourselves.
We most certainly do, but there are few men of vision, and there are many men with grievances. The men of vision are too sparse to, I suppose the word would be, coagulate those with grievances to rise up, in my opinion. Now, it's a very pessimistic ideology, I understand that, and I suppose I'm guilty of being a pessimist. I always have been a pessimist. I'm a bit of a cynic. But I've just never seen it. I'd be surprised if it happens, but in a carnal level before it happens on a divine level, if you understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does say that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So it won't be because of great orders or magnificent mortal men who are great leaders. I think our Father himself will pour out that spirit. I'm seeing signs that people are starting to sense the danger and the need for what we're talking about. That I think the spirit of our Father is starting to ignite in some of our people. So to me, that's an encouraging sign. It's a moving of the Spirit, a moving of the Father. And in the meantime, we can take solace in the fact that according to Psalm 91 and Psalm 149 and others, our Father watches out for his children. He doesn't sacrifice his children. He doesn't need any more martyrs. And so I think as individuals, for now anyway, while we're scattered like salt, the Father is going to look over and watch out for his sons and daughters at this time. I believe that. I believe that as long as we're willing to take a stand, he's not going to throw our lives away for some meaningless act or whatever. Because they got millions of dupes out there to rape, rob, and abuse. Millions upon millions of them. So,
well done. The sun, the moon, and the stars are still in the sky, to my knowledge. Therefore, the white man will always be a threat.
Yeah, we are. That's why we're the number one target.
We're the only target. The only target.
Go ahead, Kumri.
What I would also add is, anyone who isn't slightly pessimistic right now, looking at the state of the world, is fooling themselves. Because I try to be optimistic, but I am finding it damn hard to have any ounce of optimism when I see the state of the entire world. I am like
right.
The only one of me in my entire, hell, I could say almost the entire state, I'm like the only me here. So there is no fighting them myself, because that's literally suicide. I mean, I'll do it when I absolutely, absolutely have to, but I ain't going to go out there and try to hunt down my mayor and put a bullet in his head, even though I should.
Well, just remember, I personally know of numerous people in your state that are brothers of this faith. So you're not alone. You're just like Elijah when he said to the Father, why me? Why me? I'm all by myself. Why me? And he said, shut the hell up and do what I tell you to do. I got 7,000 just like you. All right? So, yeah, we feel all alone, but we're not all alone. I can guarantee you this ministry goes all over the earth, and I'm hearing from people all over the earth all the time. And they, in turn, are talking to people in circles there. Okay, we're not the majority, but we are far from alone. Far, far from alone. And that's when I keep thinking of what he told Elijah, you know, shut up and do what I told you to do. I've got plenty of my sons and daughters. I've got plenty, Or as one guy told me many years ago, he said, Dan, our Army has plenty of trigger pullers. This was back in the 1990s. And this guy was probably 15, 20 years younger than me. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, trust me. He said, we have plenty of trigger pullers. What we need is leadership. And that hasn't changed. We look at things in human terms and in human timing. You got to remember, this is all going according to our Father's timing. And to him, this is a short period of time. It's painful to us because we know things. We have discernment. We see more clearly than the rest of these people. But we have to understand, it's his plan and it's his timing. And we're frustrated because it's like, well, we need to get this thing over with right now. But that's not his plan. We have to understand, we're part of his plan. We are servants. We are not his generals. He's the general. He'll call the shots. He'll move us in the direction he wants us to go in. All we have to be is willing servants. And yeah, it's painful to watch. You're right. It's painful not to be depressed. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of days I just rub my forehead and just go, what am I doing? I've dedicated almost all my adult life to waking up these people, and they're dumber than rocks.
Yeah.
They're cowards. They're lukewarm. They don't give a shit about anything. As long as the Jew stuffs a few dollars in their pocket, they'll sell out their own families.
Yep.
What am I doing? But I'd still do it. I can't not do it. As the scripture says, when Yahweh puts a hot coal on your tongue, can you imagine a hot burning coal sitting on your tongue? You can't stop doing what you're meant to do. It'd be easier for me to stop breathing than to stop doing what I'm doing. Even though many days it feels like I'm just wasting my time. But I know deep down inside I'm not. Because, again, the scripture says his truths and his word will not come back void. It will accomplish his desires if we but speak it into the ethers. And that's where we're at. When we take a stand, or like what we're doing here tonight, we speak his truths into the ethers, we have no idea where that's going and who's listening. And whose lives are going to be changed by it. You don't have any idea. You just feel like you're Elijah sitting there in that cave. Why me? I'm the only one. But you're not the only one. So exactly. That's the good news. Exactly. And we're coming up on the 2-hour mark, so my throat's getting a little sore.
I thought we were just getting started.
It was a good rant, that's for sure. So we'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, I look at it like this, Pastor Dan. I mean, we know we're going to win. Looking at it right now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how we get there, but we win. And I don't know what's going to happen between now and, you know, what's going to happen in between our current situation and winning. But our Father doesn't lie to us. We're gonna win.
No, he doesn't lie.
But I often wonder why me.
Right.
You know, looking back over the years and some of the stuff I've done, it's like, man, he could have. I don't want to question his authority, but man, it's like Yahweh. He could have picked somebody a lot better than me, man.
No. And you're
I've done all I can do, brother.
You're not the only one that says that, but I'm going to tell you, he picks us for a reason, and to whom much is given, much is expected. And that's the thing. You guys are all at the tip of the spear. You have to understand that. You are his elect at this point in time. You're the tip. So you're looking for somebody else up the chain there, but you're not going to find it because you are the tip of that spear, whether you know it or not. And just stay focused and stay open-minded and stay positive. Even though at times I understand it's not easy, but it's our job. We have to do that. Stay positive, focused.
And you're right, because remember, like during the crazy time of the pandemic, if you went into a store and, you know, you weren't wearing the mask, but like 98% of the idiots were all doing it. It's just like, wow, like I'm the only one resisting this whole store. I mean, that kind of felt good, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, all these people have been fooled, but they didn't fool me.
Right. Right. It was scary. The day I went into Walmart back in 2020, March or April, I guess it was. And I went into one of the biggest Walmarts that in existence that's down here. And I had six people surround me almost instantly. The assistant manager and five tellers all came running over and started lambasting me like crazy that I had to put a mask on. And so, yeah, my heart was racing because I'm looking around the store and there's nobody else doing what I'm doing. But I just simply told them that, no, I don't have to. I said, you know, you got the Americans with Disabilities Act, you got the HIPAA laws. And so I said, you need to get the manager over here. And they did. They called over the manager. And I said, sir, you need to call your legal department before I sue you. So he did. He pulled out his phone while all these people surrounded me. And he called somebody on his phone, and after about 2 minutes on the phone, he told something to his assistant manager. The assistant manager walked up to him, and he said, so you have a underlying condition, huh? I said, yep, that's right. He goes, have a good day. And they all went away.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like Daniel in the lion's den, okay? all the lions were sitting there ready to chew me to pieces. In fact, this one black lady looked over and she goes, what's your underlying condition? And I looked at her and I said, lady, you don't have a right to even ask me that. And she shut up and walked away. All right.
Around the height of COVID, I was drinking with a couple of the guys and I went into the off license and I didn't have a mask. And I went to the off license around the corner from the pub just to get a couple of beers. And I walked up and I got to the door and I knew the guy that was working there because I had gone in there often. And I said, come here, I don't have a mask. I said, but look, I've got this jumper can fit over my face. I said, so, you know, I can come in, can't I? Sure. And he said, no. And I said, what do you mean, no? And this guy got highly, highly indignant, and he actually started roaring at me. And I said to him, I said, who are you raising your voice at? I said, come outside. And instantly, I saw his back quicker than I uttered the words. So quick. You can tell how cowardice the people are. I told my dad, and he laughed, and he said, son, it's not the time yet. It's not the time to fight just yet. You got to give it another little while.
Yeah, we have to understand all this crazy stuff going on. Yahweh's doing it as punishment on the people. And I know we point out the Jews because they are behind it, but you got to understand something.
We're complicit.
Behind them is our Father. Okay? The Jews do not circumvent the Father. Period. All right? They're no different than Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or any other thing on this earth that our Father can use as punishment. They are a punishment on us because we refuse to bend the knee and repent. He's not going to take the punishment away until it has done everything he needs done. That's the fire that's burning the dross off our people. The people that already reflect him, like the people here tonight, they don't need the fire. He's going to be with us when we fight this fight. because we don't need the fire. He has a special purpose for each one of us, and we're going to see that pretty damn soon. But in the meantime, this fire out here is going to burn hot on all these reprobates that are ignoring him. Okay? So we have to understand that. This is the fire he's using to bring about repentance. And if you want it to go away, we need to be telling our people, you need to repent. You better start changing the way you think, act, and what your priorities are and get them in line with the Creator, because if you don't, you're going to be part of the crowd that's stubble. A lot of you have already suffered. I've got friends and family that have died because they didn't listen. They got that shit put in their arms, and now they're gone. All right? All of us do. All of us have people we know that did that. It's not my fault. My heart goes out to them. They caved. They went along with the beast, and they got eaten up. The fire doesn't care what your motives are. The fire does not care. If you don't stick with the Father, if you don't stand your ground, the fire will consume you. The lions in the den will eat you for lunch. But when you stand firm, all of a sudden the lions get kind of quiet. Because it's like my dad told me when I was little, a man with conviction is a majority. So even when I stood in that Walmart or when I stood in that BJ's warehouse and all of that warehouse was full of all of these lions and sheep, if you stand firm, he puts a muzzle on the lions and they go away. They don't get to have you for lunch. We have more power than we realize, guys. We really do. When you're full of the Spirit, when that conviction shows through your eyes, you have the exact same look in your eyes that Christ had when he faced the Roman centuries and the Pharisees and the Sadducees in his day. He had that same fire in his eyes, and it intimidated them. It caused them fear. They actually fear you, even though you're just one, because that fire tells them you're not one of these others out here. You're not one of the sheep being led off to the slaughter, and they better tread lightly, because you have somebody on your side much more powerful than they are. That's why they are trying so desperately to keep us down, afraid, fearful, depressed, etc. Because they can't touch us when we stand firm. They can't. You have to become weak and walk away from the Father and his protection so that they can get to you. And that's what I'm telling people. Don't do it. Don't do it. The Father fulfills his promises. Go back and read Psalm 91 again and again and again. He never, ever abandons his children. Ever. The enemy wants you to think he does, but no, he does not. And that we need to take to the bank. All right, guys, final call. What's that?
So absolutely.
Yep. Yep, everybody's, looks like it's bedtime for a lot of us. So, and I know it's bedtime for Matt. Man, it's wee hours of the morning over there. So,
I do the shift work, Dan. So I live on Mars a lot of the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do. I do a couple of mornings and a couple of nights, so I'm all over the place. Usually.
Oh my gosh! All right. Well, any final thoughts, Matt, before I'll close this out here in a prayer?
Well, gentlemen and lady, I look forward to seeing you on the other side. That's my final words. I look forward to seeing you all on the other side. It's going to come soon. It's going to come soon. So praise Yahweh, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, praise Yahweh. Blessings to you, buddy. Randy, any final thoughts?
I've been waiting for this day for over 20 years, folks. I can't wait till they all collapse and go right where they all belong. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Yeah, absolutely. Take care. Blessings, buddy.
Yep.
Dan?
Yep. Ella, go ahead. Your turn.
I can't remember when I've enjoyed a time as I have had. And I hear the masculine mind plotting and working. It was truly beautiful. All of you, Matt, Randy, Pastor Dan, good going. Tell Jeremiah I even enjoyed him. And God bless you all.
I'll tell him. Okay, Ella, thank you very much. That's what happens when we do what the Father said. That's discipleship. That's fellowship. And it's energizing. It builds up confidence. It builds up strength. Yeah, we're few in number, but we're the cream of the crop. We're part of that, like I said, we're part of that elect body for this particular time in history of our people. That's special. And there's been no other time like this, that we're aware of anyway. There's been no other time on this earth anyway. So we are in a very, very unique and very special space in a very special time. And we're here because we've been called by Him for this reason. Lord knows what we all were on the other side before we came here. We may even have known each other over there. We don't know that. That part of our memories has been erased. But we're here now, and we've found each other, and we're working together, and we're going to accomplish His will upon this earth and in His name and for His righteousness and for His glory, not ours. He created this world. He gave us life. I'm thankful every night my head hits the pillow. I thank Him for all the things that I've been able to learn and do and experience, and the things that are coming that we will be part of. So we have to remember that. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share. We pray that this recording will be heard by those that are meant to hear it, and that it will lift up your spirits, give them incentive to stand tall for You and for each other. And may it all be part of the Malachi chapter 4, the bringing back together of our people as a family, to stop this political division and this hatred that's infused in us over these silly reasons that are put there by our enemies. Let us see that we are kinfolk, no matter what nation we call ourselves from, no matter what language we're speaking, we're brothers. We come from Adam, we come from You. We are Your sons on this earth, Father. And yes, our ancestors have made terrible mistakes, and we ourselves have made mistakes. But we are still Your children. We repent of those mistakes. And we just ask You to cleanse us of any unclean thing that's in us, to make us fit servants for You in this critical time in history. And may the prophets be true, and may Your word be true through the Holy Spirit, that our righteous army is forming, and one day soon that righteous army will stand up, and all of the wicked will be dealt with. To that end, walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to Thy glory, Father Yahweh, and protect us always from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.